Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, God is a Mean God, already in progress.
I now know the truth about churches, sickness, and true faith. God bless. And then a witness on it is Patrick Odiamio, who his elder brother from the United States, with his phone number. Yeah. Praise God.
Jeff, while she's putting me on, why don't you come up and give your testimony? He's got a few himself.
I'm just going to be brief. The meeting that we went to, a town of maybe 10 or 15,000 people outside of Lansing, Michigan, and Lansing is half a million plus people in the surrounding, what they call the MSA, the big area. But the smaller town, this guy had the Lord speak to his heart that he was supposed to do a citywide revival for his city. And so he had come out of Catholicism and going to a Baptist church and very, very brand new Christian and just fired up and trying to get churches to join and couldn't get anybody to join. Sometimes we're funny, and every church that you go to thinks that they've got the truth. And so since they've got it, they don't need to work with anybody else. And the work that we're doing is the most important. And so this guy, as a new Christian, had dealt with, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I end up talking to him, having a long conversation. It was great. But he's dealt with rejection all of his life, and one of the things that the enemy does with rejection is causes you to feel in new situations, well, these people are doing the same thing that I've had happen to me before in the past. I recognize this feeling, when really sometimes it's just pushing on old wounds that he's still carrying. And so a lot of times people will reject first because they feel like they're being rejected. And so he's trying to get churches involved and trying to get churches involved, and finally he's just like, fine, forget it. Forget, if you guys won't do what God's telling you to do and what God's telling us to do and reaching our town, if you don't care, and forget it. So he walks away. But even our mistakes, the Lord uses. And him walking away, they all didn't pick up on, the rejection stuff and so on. They just thought maybe this guy's being contentious. But then the Lord began to stir their heart. This is from me. This needs to get done. And a bunch of churches end up joining together. And we joined a citywide, and also a bunch of pastors, different pastors from Lansing came to help put this meeting on. If it would have been driven by that one guy, it wouldn't have ended up being what it became. And the Lord used even his mistakes and his failures to cause a vacuum, and pastors stepped up. And then there's all kinds of people there. And I asked the one guy, kind of one of the one church that was helping maybe the most to spearhead things and set up the sound system, and their worship team was there. He said, how many of your people were here tonight? He said, maybe 10 or 12. And so there was a lot of people there that night. I don't know, I didn't count, but over 100 people there that night, and only 10 of them maybe were from his church. And so the Lord definitely brought together a citywide group of people, which is just fun to watch what the Lord's doing. So the Bible talks about how whenever we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And it's at different levels. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I don't know if it's significant, but I think it is, that he doesn't say my lambs hear my voice, but my sheep do. Sometimes lambs are off wandering, and the shepherd has to go find the lambs, and we learn to hear the voice of the Lord. And it's every one of us are becoming more and more sensitive to the voice of the Lord because that's what the Lord's doing in us. But up there, for every one of us, it was clear, just the Lord speaking very, very specific things. And I'd have people sit down in front of me, and I would just know all kinds of things, both of the details of their past and what was going on in them physically. Had a lady that was sitting down, dragging herself around in a walker type thing, but having to, pull her, whatever, shuffle herself around. And she had been molested growing up. And Luke chapter 4, Jesus, first message that he ever, it's recorded in the Bible that he preaches in his hometown. He goes into the synagogue, they hand him the scroll or the book of Isaiah. Some of you guys know the story. He reads quotes from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He says the Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach the truth, preach the gospel. Second thing, to heal the brokenhearted. The third thing, to set captives free. There are people who are in prison of no fault of their own. They were taken captive. When they were children, things happened to them. It wasn't their sin. And then the fourth thing he says is setting prisoners free. And this woman admitted, you know, yes, there's stuff that happened to me that I didn't have any control over, but now I know that I've not dealt with it right. And it's caused tremendous amount of problems between my husband and I, and now she's got all kinds of physical stuff wrong with her and dealing with depression and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I start to pray for her, and I start rebuking the enemy, and in a different voice, and I didn't tell you guys this, in a different voice twice, she says, not coming out, not coming out. And it says, yes, you are. And this is why. Because you have no more legal right. I've remitted her sins, remitted the sins of her parents, her family line. Everything that was not only she has done, but that was done to her, that she's carried the lies of shame, guilt, and condemnation, that's been broken off. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Prayed for her again, she shook, and then you could see the countenance change in her face. She told me the next night a whole bunch of the pain had left. She was walking, pushing it the next night. So the Lord already beginning to set her free. But one after another, we just saw the Lord touching people, and it was fun. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love serving a God that's alive, don't you? Well, He is alive, I will have to say it. But one of the experiences I had whenever the service was over that first night, there was a couple. They had one son and one daughter. They came up and they said, well, we heard you were going to be back in this area, and so said, we wanted to come hear you, because said 7 years ago we heard about you and how that the Word of God was doing wonderful things. So said, we came and we had this son here, and said, he had a great big black mole. Do you remember him? And I says, I do not. When you prayed for the number of people I prayed for, it's hard to remember who they are. In fact, I give up. I don't even try anymore. But she said, mother said, he had a great big black mole right between his eyes, big as the end of your finger. Just big old black mole sticking out there. She said, we brought him up. You cursed it. You commanded it to leave in the name of Jesus. And she said, just a few days later, that mole was gone. It's never come back for 7 years. Don't you love serving a Jesus that does things? That answers prayer? I don't know what the deal is here. I think maybe we need to start asking him something, Tony. Don't you? He's waiting on us, isn't he? That's right. That's exactly what he's waiting on. You know, so I think about some of these stories that Cheryl talked about the people that had certain things. And I think about a little girl one day that walked into my office. This is back when I was still in the business world before I became a pastor. She walked into my office and she said, sir, I hear you talking about Jesus all the time. And I said, yes, ma'am, he's my favorite subject. And she said, well, I want to ask you a question. She said, I've not been able to find anybody that could solve my problem. But she said, I'm a Catholic. I said, okay, do you go to church? She said, yes, I do, every Sunday. I said, okay. I said, what's the problem? She said, I have a man that calls me every afternoon when I get home and talks to me about things that I don't want to talk about. I said, like what things? She said, sexual things. I said, okay. I said, you don't know who this man is? And she said, no, I have no idea who he is. I said, some way he must have my telephone tapped. I said, what makes you think that? She said, because he tells me when I go in the house, he tells me, he'll call me on my phone and tell me what I'm wearing. I said, ma'am, that could be real simple. He's watching you from another room, another house, or a car, and he just sees you walk in. And so then he calls you and says, hey, you had a blue dress on today. You look beautiful or something. He said, that's not what he does. I said, what do you do? He said, I walk in and he tells me, you have pink underwear on with a blue flower on the right side, on your panties. I said, okay, this is demonic. I said, are you involved any way in the occult? She says, no. I said, maybe you don't know what the occult is. I said, but the thing about Satan and his host of demons, he cannot attack you and do things to you without legal right. You have to be living in a sin mode for him to have legal power over you. So I said, you're doing something that's not according to God's word right. She said, I have no idea what it is. I said, okay, let me just start asking you a few questions. Are you involved in the occult? She said, I don't know what that is. I said, have you ever played with a Ouija board? Yes, I have played with a Ouija board. You ever played with tarot cards? Yes, I have. I said, you know, there's your problem. I said, have you ever done any anointing oils with the occult, with this occult stuff that you use? She said, oh yeah, I buy these special oils and we have all kinds of fun doing this stuff. I said, that's, young lady, that's how you're opening the door to the devil. I said, you've got to repent of that. And I have got to come to your house and I've got to break every curse in your house. I'll anoint your windows and doors with oil and I will drive out every demon of hell in your house because they're there. She said, when can you do it? I said, when do you want it done? She said, tonight. I said, okay, let me call this Baptist friend of mine. I got a Baptist pastor that's a friend of mine. I said, I can't come to your house. As she was about 25 years old and had about a 4 or 5 year old son. And her husband and her couldn't get along, so he went one way and she went the other way. And so anyway, I told her, I said, I can't come to your house without another man there. I would never come into your house as a single woman by myself under no conditions. She said, well, that's okay. So I called him and he asked him if he could go with me that afternoon after work. And he said, sure, I'll go with you. So we met over at her house. She showed up. We go in. As we go in, she began to show me all these little tarot cards, Ouija boards, all kinds of occultic stuff. Some of it she got in the Catholic church. She got in the Catholic bookstore. But anyway, you don't want to have nothing to do with this stuff, you know. I mean, people don't realize how you open the door to the devil. You know, like Harry Potter. You know, I mean, Harry Potter, anybody in their right mind knows that they're teaching Harry Potter in schools. They're doing it. And it's totally giving a place to the devil, to our children. And you wonder why these school teachers are having havoc in their schools? I'm telling you what. I mean, any school teacher today that is a Christian, for sure, now non-Christians, you couldn't tell them this, they wouldn't believe it anyway. But if you take a school teacher that's a Christian, that school teacher, he or she needs to learn how to break the curse over her classroom every morning. When you go in, you need to break the curse, claim the redemption from the curse, and you need to stand up and quote scripture like Luke 10:19-20, and demand and command every spirit of hell to get out of your classroom and go to the abyss somewhere and leave you and all your children alone. When you learn how to do that, you can break the power of the devil.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, God is a Mean God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.